Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
So irresistible is the transformative power of enlightenment that your life seems to be shifted into a new dimension and open to new and unsuspected possibilities. What a great way to start a show with a quote like that. This is from Eugene Hergeil. He is the author of the book Enlightenment, Rebirth, and Buddha Nature. So I thought this is a great way because the topic today is all about enlightenment. It certainly is in alignment with the energy of 2010 and the fact that we are going to be asked to go inside. That's what enlightenment is. And so I'm going to be talking about it. I'm going to be defining it both from what Webster's Dictionary says and then also what my perspective is as a medical intuitive and dealing with the aura for so long and working with the soul and the healing power that we have within us. So I want to thank you for joining me today. Topic is enlightenment. And actually, this topic is part of a CD series. CD that I have, and that CD is Enlightenment, the Path to Personal Liberation. And if you're interested in purchasing a copy of the CD, you can go to my website at www.ritberger.com and then click on the products. Enlightenment is literally a process. And that's what this CD talks about. It talks about the process and the steps. And I'm just going to cover a little bit of all of that on the CD just in a snippet form. But I think it's important for us to realize that if we are going to literally be prudent, which were the code words for 2010, prudent, persist, and prevail, all of those are steps for us to reach that place of enlightenment. I'm also going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question about your health or you would like maybe a question in general or you want to talk about enlightenment, give me a buzz. I'm looking forward to it. You can call me at 877-230-3260 or 425-644-5620. One of the things that I'm asked very, often in my workshops is when I speak about enlightenment and all this transformation that's taking place, this letting go process, so the change can be the instrument for the new beginnings and creating a new. People will say to me all the time, Carol, what is enlightenment? Well, enlightenment is actually a journey, and it's a journey of a single thought that we create out of what I call ordinary consciousness. That's our everyday thinking that we use to be able to function throughout our day. It's that conditioning. It's that programming. It's the acquired knowledge that we've learned that really creates the thoughts that we aren't necessarily cognitive of or mindful of when we create them. Well, what enlightenment does is a process. It takes those everyday ordinary thoughts and it starts the process of actually transforming them into something that allows us to see the opportunities and the options around the thought or the experiences that are being created as a result of that thought. Enlightenment actually goes in and touches a part of us that's what I call non-ordinary consciousness, and that's the consciousness of our higher self. That is literally the I am of who we are. The I am is like that inner child that sees everything as new. It doesn't have that cynicism or those judgments that we have based on conditioning, based on what we've learned and the ramifications associated with all of those things. So enlightenment goes in and it really touches a different kind of consciousness that sees things new for the first time and as a result shows all the different opportunities and the options that we have. Enlightenment goes in and it touches that inner wisdom. Every single one of us, whether we consider ourselves intuitive or not, really are enlightened beings. And we have the opportunity to touch that enlightenment on a daily basis. And even if we wanted to on an hourly basis, and probably truthfully, if we would just learn to see our life and our experiences from that inner child that's not the inner child that's emotionally wounded, but the inner child of the soul, every situation presents opportunities and options. And it taps into that inner wisdom that basically uses our intuition to say to us, this opportunity fits within my skill set or what I'm able to actually manifest this opportunity. I don't have enough skills. I may need to learn a little bit more. It just doesn't feel right to me. So that's what enlightenment does, is it taps into that I am part of who we are. What it does is it takes that ordinary thought with all those patterns and the emotions associated with those thoughts, and it literally transforms them, lets go of the emotional charge, transmutes them into a different thought that has new possibilities. And we, at that split moment that thought changes from what was been there, done that, what's familiar, to that little spark of change that this feels new, we have literally in the neurology of our brain a split second to decide very quickly, do we want to stay with what's familiar or do we want to go for what's new? If we stay with what's familiar, that isn't an enlightened thought, because enlightenment is a process. It means that we have to be consciously engaged in the process, mindful, prudent, careful, cautious, wise, persist, because we believe that it is true at all levels. It resonates with us. It touches that inner wisdom, our inner light. It brings that light forward, and then we will prevail. Three code words for 2010 is prudent, persist, prevail. Enlightenment is a part of that process and is actually the process to be able to get there, and meaning to manifest what you truly desire. I went in and I looked at Webster Dictionary and I said, okay, let's break this up into small components. And interesting, enlightenment is literally three different words. In means to put into, to go into. Light means, of course, inner wisdom. To go into inner wisdom means action, process, a state of conditioning resulting from. So enlightenment means that you go within, you find your inner counsel, you heed your inner counsel, you allow the possibilities to come forward, and in mint, you move forward. I thought that was so interesting because, again, in alignment with what the energy is with 2010. Conversely, enlightenment can also be the journey of a single thought that's created out of non-ordinary consciousness, such as a thought that creates a new idea. Perhaps you just wake up one day and all of a sudden it's like a light bulb goes off in your head and you go, oh my gosh, I really need to go in and to take this thought and just be with it and spend time with it and to be able to observe it and all the options that it has, and then decide, do I really want to move on this? So when we think of enlightenment, it doesn't have to be a been there, done that thought. It can actually be a brand new thought that just seems to appear out of the blue that takes us from that non-ordinary consciousness, and then in that action plan moves us into the actual ordinary consciousness, which is where we literally manifest on the physical plane. So again, enlightenment can be on either side. The process actually leads you to that inner self for you to do that last final pulse check. Do you know, does this feel right for those who make decisions based on it feeling right? Or is it logical based on the people that make decisions based on logic? That one little split second, and whatever's determined in that second is exactly what is going to manifest in the next action or the next course of action or the next day or the day after that or the day after that. So enlightenment really frees us from old patterns. It creates new, and it allows us to touch that deepest, deepest part of who we are. Enlightenment is a no-boundary awareness, and it opens the mind. It opens up the reticular activating system of the body itself, that part of our mind and body that basically starts to look for patterns to look for the consistency, what is familiar. Enlightenment works a lot with the patterns that we see. I always tell people, what does it mean, reticular activating? So say hypothetically, you decide you want to buy a car, and you see in your mind that you want to buy this car. Maybe you see it in a magazine. I want to buy a particular, maybe an SUV. And what you do is all of a sudden something inside starts to have you notice all these SUVs that are driving around. And then maybe you wanted to get a Ford. And all of a sudden you see all these Fords, and you see so many Fords, you say, you know, I really don't want a Ford. They're all over everywhere. I want something different. So then your reticular activating looks for something different. Again, this is part of enlightenment, all these possibilities. And then you find the car and you think, well, there's a few, not a lot. And you start noticing color and you think, you know, I think I want a silver. Oh my gosh. All you do is see a silver. And yet I don't want to be like everyone else in ordinary. I want to be extraordinary. So I think I want a burgundy or a maroon. And it's like, oh my gosh, I only saw one of those. All of that is the process of enlightenment. And then one of these days you wake up and you go, this is it. I am going to buy a burgundy maroon SUV, this model. And then all of a sudden, maybe something in the paper comes in that a dealership is having a specific sale around it. And voila, all the stars line up. The synchronicity of what you created in that enlightened state or enlightenment, the process of it, all of a sudden comes to manifestation. And next thing you know, here you are sitting in this brand new SUV in the color you want, stopping at the stoplights and looking around and thinking, this is so cool. And that's what enlightenment does. Also, is there's a tremendous, tremendous joy that comes from that enlightenment. And when I went in and I looked at enlightenment from Webster's, it says a state of being enlightened, the absence of suffering. And if we could really hold in mind that what the enlightenment is all about, it's about freeing us from the suffering that we have. Suffering can come from staying in patterns of behavior that keeps us into places of fear or angst or anxiety. It can also be the part that comes in and it raises those fears, but it can even be deeper than that. Maybe it brings to our awareness that we don't have enough information or we don't have enough skills, and that the analysis paralysis may be a gift in disguise instead of having us just move forward, because that's what we've always done. So enlightenment has a lot of different essence to it, and it is a process. And so often we think about, gosh, when I just become enlightened, then my world is going to be different in every area. Well, it will be to some degree, but if there's any suffering in any area, that is the catalyst for the trigger, the spark that really keeps enlightenment going, is coming in and just basically saying that what I want to do is I want to change the way I see things. I want to change the way I act. I want to change the way that I am. I don't want to suffer anymore. And if we say that in any of those phrases, voila, enlightenment happens. And so very interesting when I started breaking it down. And you know, the fascinating part about all of this is that I always create these shows. You've heard me say this before. If you're a listener, I always create these shows because I feel that it's the time to do it, or I'm guided to be able to do it. And I'm just absolutely in awe that I do this for all of you as listeners. And oh my gosh, this is all about me. It's exactly what I need at the time. And I want to thank all of you for, you know, being there and supporting me, for giving me a chance to share what I learn with others, and then for being my teacher as well. That is part of the enlightenment process. A person who lives an enlightened life is always the teacher and the student simultaneously. So again, I'm going to continue talking about enlightenment. Remember, it's nothing other than a shift of perception that touches you with your inner self. What I would like to do is I want to remind you that I do have time for calls. So if you decide that you have a question for me about your health, or you want to talk about enlightenment or anything in general, then you can call me at 877-230-3260 or 425-644-5620. What I think I'm going to do right now is I've got Christina on line one, and I'm going to go ahead and take the call from Christina. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
Hi, sweetie. Where are you from?
I'm from Massachusetts.
Well, oh my gosh, good for you. You guys have had a little bit of this bitter weather also, haven't you?
Yes, but I have a back injury and I don't get out much, so it's okay.
Well, you know what? I was going to say, you know, there really are small blessings to things, aren't there, sweetie?
Major.
Well, how can I help you?
Well, I was actually calling because I have fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, and I was told by an intuitive that it started around when I was 8, and I then became completely disabled with it, getting out of an abusive relationship in 2001. I was bedridden for about 5 months. At the time, I went to school for holistic health counseling and thankfully graduated and could kind of heal myself enough to lick my wounds and work very sick, but not enough to support myself. So I've been partially disabled since then. And then in 2007, I herniated a disc and my whole back has been in severe pain, I guess, because of the fibromyalgia. I chose after a little while that I wanted to become enlightened, and this whole thing has really, really helped me to have time to have a spiritual practice, which is a complete blessing. But I feel like I'm hanging on to it, or I don't know, like, I want to let go of all the illness and the sickness and the anger that causes the pain, and I don't know where it's coming from. I know I enjoy my free time where I can meditate, and I kind of want to let go of thinking I need to be on disability as well in order to, like, become enlightened or to stay spiritually, like, centered.
Well, you know what, sweetie? Talk about the double-edged swords about that. Isn't it the truth? At the time that you needed the space to be able to put your life back together, then what you were able to do is you were able to go in and have that time to be able to do that. That was very, very important for you to do it. But at this point in time, now it feels like it's become basically a trap for you from the standpoint that while it helped you, it's becoming a limitation to you. So one of the things that I would encourage you to do is that, bless it, it did serve you well. I know a lot of people think, what is Carol Reitberger talking about? But literally, bless it, it did serve you well. Then what you can do is you can go in and you can create anew. This is a time you've been able to go and have the time to touch your deepest self. You've had a chance to really look at, sweetie, what you don't want. I mean, my gosh, all of us would love to be able to have some freedom to just sit down and kind of contemplate our lives and say, you know, I don't want this, I don't want that. And then, and you've had that. But now what it is it's time. And you actually started this about 18 months ago. Now you're actually saying it is time for me to literally pick myself back up. That's what the metaphor that I get around your body. Pick myself up, stand tall, and I'm ready to take the steps that are necessary in order for me to be able to move forward the way that I want to. So let me go back, and I would like to validate some things from the intuitive that you had worked with. The age was exactly right. That's when it feels like prior to that occurrence of the fatigue and everything. My sense is, honey, I'm not sure, because I can go inside. I can get a lot of antibodies in your body. Your immune system became compromised. It has a lot of the energy of a Lyme disease. But my sense is it's more of Epstein-Barr. And I think that that's what you're working with in your body at this point in time. And when it gets into that perfect place where it gets too acidic, you get too angry with yourself, you turn on yourself, you can't seem to find your way out of all the darkness that you're experiencing, the stress is way, way too much, then I think what is happening is I think that you're body is basically getting so bound by all these toxins that you're not able to be able to move as freely as that you need to. And I think that it, when you look at your life, I go back and I, you know, I say this with great love, but I will tell you that your life literally reads like the Wall Street Journal. You have had more than your fair share of things that have happened that literally would stop people in their tracks, sweetie.
Yeah.
And I really want to acknowledge that, and I would like you to hear me acknowledge that, so then you can realize that what we're talking about is you came in with a big to-do list when you came into this form. And the gift of this is that you came in with two guardian angels. One is going to hold you in the light around the emotions, because that's how you make decisions, so you don't get confused about whether a decision is right or wrong by other people's perception. And then another guardian angel is actually holding you in the light for your body. So a lot that you came here to do. In order to do all of that, you threw yourself into life. You became involved in situations that probably, truthfully, in some time, you got this little indicator that it wasn't necessarily the right decision for you at the time. But that's how we learn. Don't hold yourself, don't hold yourself in judgment on that. And then what you do is that you've learned and you've learned and you've learned and you've gone and now you're ready to graduate. So the most important thing I can say to you is, your immune system is your very best friend, and it is a part of where your focus needs to be.
Okay.
When you start getting irritated with yourself or angry with yourself, you personally, not your body, but you personally, I want you to hear Carol Reitberger say, sweetie, zip it. Let's not talk to yourself that way. You're not a victim. You've never been a victim. I can tell you that, Christine. So what it is that you just came in with a lot of things to have to do in order to be able to get yourself where you are today to be of service to other people. May sound like a kind of a bumpy road to get there, but sweetie, you know how to be there. So the next thing is that when you go there, I want you to hear me say zip it. The other thing is, let's go in and keep your immune system as happy as it possibly can. That is going to mean you're going to have to revisit supplements if you're taking them. You're going to have to revisit medication if you're taking them. You're going to have to revisit your diet in order to be sure that you're not feeding a chronic inflammation. My sense is that at this point you are. It could be the weather that's caused you to, you know, have some cravings and have some yearnings and wanting to do some things. No judgment. Just go in and evaluate. What do you put in your mouth during the day? Every time you put something in your mouth, ask your body, is this good for it or not? It's that simple.
Okay.
It is literally that simple. So what you do is, if your body says, nope, I don't need it right now, don't eat it. If it says, yep, I do, and it's calling for glucose and sugar and everything, then give it what it needs, but only give it a little bit.
Okay.
And then... Yeah, go ahead. And then what I want to, excuse me for the last thing, and then sweetie, I'll let you jump back in. The other thing is that I would like you to practice standing up every day. I want you to stand up. I want you to put your shoulders back. I want you to come in, and I want you to just allow your muscles to feel what it's like to stand. The herniated disc is in the healing process. It's been in the healing process for a long time. My sense is it's more healed than you're even aware of. But we just have muscles that are just saying, oh my gosh, don't move wrong, because I don't know what's going to happen. And I just would like to have you stand up, just be in your body, close your eyes, feel your muscles relaxing. Think of them as motor oil on a cold day where they're thick, and then watch it, the motor oil becoming really, really thin. Feel the muscles relax. Start at the top of your head. Relax your forehead. Relax your eyes. Relax your jaw. That is where you know where you are emotionally. You set your jaw. You clench those teeth and you set your jaw. Causes your jaw to get tight. So again, just go through methodically. Relax the jaw. Relax the shoulders. Ah, deep breath. Relax the back. And every day do that at least once or twice a day, sweetie. It'll help you tremendously. You know what? I need to say this. I normally wouldn't, but I'm going to. The fact that you're out of the relationship, gold stars to you. The relationship was very dysfunctional and very unhealthy for you, sweetie. It was a replay of where you've been in your past, and you are ready to move forward.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that as well. All right.
Thanks.
So now you take me to the next level, hon. Where would you like to go?
Well, you hit on it like completely, where I feel like I've gained freedom from my abusive family, from abusive exes, and being independent in a system of being on a disability, which is not being independent. So I feel exactly like that. I feel like I'm in a trap.
Well, in a lot of ways you are, sweetie, but you know what? You can get out of that trap.
Right.
But it has to be in the enlightenment that I'm talking about. It has to be a methodical process. For you to just get off of disability right now isn't possible, hon.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a blessing.
Right. So this is going to be, just like the other things, it's going to be a take a one step at a time, and it will evolve, and just to keep faith and courage and to know it's going to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at what you've done. But the thing is, what I want, when I heard you go, ha ha ha, and I felt that, it's like, oh, Carol, you need to say something. Honey, it doesn't have to take a long time.
Okay, that's what I needed to hear.
Now, yes, your body is going to have to go in and it's going to have to do some things to be able to correct itself. That may take a little more time than your mind thinks it should. But the bottom line of it is that you can right now, as of today, say, by this date, I am going to be off of disability. What do I need to do today to hit that date? You can do that. Your mind starts to get excited about things. It's like, oh my gosh, let's look at all the talents that you have. Let's look at everything that you're really good at. Where do we want to go? It's like a kid in a candy store.
That's you can, so fun. Yeah.
Every day you can stand up and you can look in the mirror, and every day you put that mirror a little bit higher and a little bit higher because you'll stand taller and taller. And you look in the mirror and you go, ah, look at this. Hello, this would be me. And then you do that. Make it fun, sweetie. If it starts to feel like suffering, honey, this is not where you want to be. Let your heart guide you. Let your heart guide you. Whether you're working with people, no matter what it is, let your heart guide you. That's how you make decisions. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it. It's not right for you.
Right.
It's literally that simple. And it does not have to take a long time.
One intuitive told me that it would take a couple of years, and that just made me, even though I kind of maybe feel it could take a couple of years, and that might not be a long time in the scheme of life, that just kind of made it like, oh my God, I just want to give up now.
Well, it does. And you know, that information, I hurt my feet, 4.5 years ago. I went to a doctor and the doctor said to me, Carol, it's going to take at least 4 years. That's the pattern. 3 to 4 years. It's going to take four. And do you know what? Even though I do this work, my body, my mind said every day I'm going to do something to make this better. Do you know what, honey? I was literally 4 years and 10 days before my feet stopped hurting. You know what, honey? None of us knows your body. You aren't a one-size-fits-all. It will take your body a while, but what is a while? You determine it. How much energy do you want to put in? How much effort? How much do you want to believe in? It's no different than me working with someone that's been diagnosed with cancer and the doctor says you have 15 days. Honey, you've got double guardians. They're not going to let you fail.
Oh, who are my guardian angels that you mentioned? Because I've been wanting to ask that as well.
Let's go in. You know angels. So
I talk to angels all day long.
So you know what? Go talk to them. Ask the angel of your body, who are you?
Okay.
You have, there's two choices, I can tell you. It's either going to be Raphael or Michael.
Okay.
And then the other one is supposed to be, it's the guardian of your mind. It's the mind, the one that comes in and goes, so you're thinking a little bit hard at the moment. Should we have a little fun here? So that's where you need to go. Now you'll have to ask that one, because this guardian's been with you ever since you came into this body. But this is a guardian that you've just recently become aware of and you're connecting with, has a lot of playfulness, has a lot of youthfulness, has a deep connection with nature. So there's a little bit of homework for you. All right, my love. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate your time so much. Thank you.
It is truly my pleasure. What a wonderful thing for all of us as listeners to be able to hear that bounce and bubble and all the different things. And that's what enlightenment sounds like and feels like. And it's literally void of all suffering. So that's when we hit that place where, whoo, let's see, no suffering. We are then in that enlightenment moment. All right. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk a little bit more about enlightenment, the 7 stages, very, very quickly. Again, if you're interested in learning more, you can go to my website, and I do have an enlightenment path to personal liberation CD available. So be right. Please come back. I'll be right back. If
If you have a question for Carol, call her now. Toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Well, Edgar Cayce was once asked in a reading, how do we know when we're enlightened? And Edgar Cayce said, before enlightenment, you chop wood, carry water, and build fire. After you're enlightened, you chop wood, build fire, or carry wood, build fire. He said, the only difference is before you're enlightened, it's a chore. After you're enlightened, it's a pleasure. That is literally the shift of perception when it comes to enlightenment. Well, welcome back and thanks for joining me today. I'm going to be taking your calls. I'm going to be talking more about enlightenment. So if you have a question for me about your health or a question about enlightenment, or we just want to chat about something that's going on in your life where I can share my medical intuitive or my intuitive skills with me, you can call me at 877-230-3062 or 425-644-5620. As I mentioned in the first segment, enlightenment literally is a process. It begins with a greater understanding of who you are, why you do the things you do, but more importantly, around understanding yourself, it is very important in order to touch those places of enlightenment to know what's right for you, meaning how do you make decisions? If you make decisions on a decision having to feel right, don't go against that. It compromises your neurology. It changes the chemistry in your body. That chemistry equates to stress. Your brain goes mush. It can't make a decision even if it wanted to. So you're better off to just say, at this point in time, it doesn't feel right. I can't make a decision. If you make decisions based on logic and you're trying to make them on the fact that it feels right, it's not going to happen. The decision is not going to be right. You're going to fight yourself, get at odds with yourself. And now we have the same situation that we have when we try to compromise ourselves, when we do things for other people's reasons and not ours. I've been asked about that as far as how that really fits into the equation of enlightenment. What do I mean by when we do things for other people's reasons and not ours? We always do that, or we may do it frequently, depending on your personality. What I'm talking about is if you're going to do something for other people's reasons, be mindful, be cognitive, be aware that this is what you choose to do at this time for your reasons. Perhaps it's because you love them. Perhaps it's because they need your help. Perhaps you have some wisdom that you can share with them. When I talk about doing things for other people's reasons and not ours, where it becomes that suffering and that struggle in the physical body and the imbalance between head and heart, means that we fall into those old patterns and that conditioning that says, this is what you need to do. In this circumstances, you do this. In this circumstances, you do the same thing. In that circumstance, you do all the same things. It's like we just get on rote, where our brain just automatically complies to whatever it is, yet inside, we're actually feeling that we are compromising ourselves. How do you know how you make decisions? Well, there's many ways. You can just literally go in and ask yourself, how do I make decisions? Do I make decisions on the fact that it feels right, or do I make them logically? That sometimes that can be very clear, but if you happen to be in a male body and you make decisions because they feel right, conditioning says you should make them based on logic. We have confusion. And in my case, being the personality that I am as a yellow, I make decisions based on logic. Yet as a female, I should be making decisions based on them feeling right. And I don't use the feeling right until I am sure logically that I have dotted every I, crossed every T, have complete understanding of the situation. Then I put my toe in that emotional pool to see what's going on. If nothing comes up and kind of bites my toe, voila, I make a decision. But I don't make it on the fact that it feels right. I make it on the fact that it's logical. So a lot of times I get confused, and a lot of females that are a red or a yellow personality have the same thing, because we just don't think the way we're conditioned as females to think. Those are very important things for us to know about ourselves. So there's different ways you can ask yourself. I have books out on personality. I would encourage you to go to hayhouse.com or amazon.com. Google my name. You'll find the list of books that I have on personality. It has an assessment in there. The assessment itself actually talks to the brain, and it tells the brain, I want you to identify how you make a decision. And those words and those statements actually have the brain do that. And once you know that, now you're in a power position. Now you're able to come in when things don't feel right, or maybe it creates that inner angst or that struggle or suffering, mostly suffering, those negative emotions. Now you come in, take a deep breath, and go, you know what? It's better to do nothing than it is to repeat the past. Enlightenment is that process of taking that deep breath and saying, it's better to just pause, see where I am, then start the process the way that I choose for it to manifest, and not someone else. So again, you can look at my books. Unfortunately, at this point in time, on my websites, I do have a mini assessment. For some reason, they're not wanting to cooperate right now. So the best thing to do if you want to know your personality is to go in and actually purchase a book, What Colors Your Personality, Love, What's Personality Got to Do With It, and then Your Personality, Your Health, and Managing People, What's Personality Got to Do With It. You've heard me say throughout the whole show, enlightenment is a process. There are actually seven stages that a single thought goes through as it goes from its inner creation to its birth to its death. And then a new thought is created. The first stage is awakening. These are the aha moments. These are the epiphanies that we have. It's something like a light bulb that goes off. Maybe we've noticed a pattern, but all of a sudden we have this awakening. Something needs to change. Change is part of the awakening process. And I'm not sure, it's kind of a catch-22. Does awakening create change, or does change create awakening? But the awakening is something is not working. Something is needs to be changed. Self-remembering is the second stage. Self-remembering reminds you that you are more than meets the eye. You are energy. Energy has no limitations and no boundaries. Thoughts have limitations and boundaries because our outer world places those boundaries, those limitations upon us. In that self-remembering, it's also about you are the creator of your thoughts. Only you can change your thoughts. Only you can change your destiny. Only you can live what you came here to live. All the other people in your life are merely just extras and players in that process. Also, self-remembering says to you, step back, look at a situation. Are you truly the lead player, or are you the extra in someone else's play? Self-remembering says, if you're caught up in the drama of somebody else's lives, living their fears and insecurities, you have the power within you to say, I no longer want to play in this drama. The third stage is awareness. This is where that heightened awareness comes in, and it's like this inner observer is just looking for every pattern. That's part of that reticular activating system that I talked about, that literally is part of the medulla, part of the brainstem itself. Trillions of little fine nerve endings and larger nerves that are basically just coming in and woven together like this ganglion compressed area. It's kind of like having a computer with all these wires, and these wires become twisted. But all of those wires serve a purpose and an awareness. What it does is it creates the awareness that start looking at what in your life is this pattern, what in your life does need to change, and awareness comes in and starts touching all aspects of your life, all aspects of habits and comfort zones and behavior, and it comes in and says, ah, look at this. Look at how many places you've got this thought invested in how you live your life. And awareness takes us to the next step, which is transition. Transition is that quiet, that still point. When I had the pleasure of speaking with the first caller, Christine, what I basically found is where she is, while many of us don't want to be housebound and don't want to be on disability, Christine in many ways has a great gift because she has time on her hands to be able to contemplate, to think, to look at the options, to observe, to test ride in her mind, the visualization, the affirmations, to do all of those things. No, we don't need to have our body break down on us, but sometimes when our body does break down, or sometimes when we get in that place where we're literally immobilized, transition is the still point that says, take a deep breath, weigh the options, look at the possibilities, look at the course that you have in front of you. Now, choose whether you want to take that course or not. Whether you choose to not take that course, I need to tell you in enlightenment, the process will continue. No matter whether you want it to or not, it will. The only difference is, in enlightenment, you'll be aware of the process happening. In the part where you don't want it to happen, it still happens, but you may not be aware of the opportunities that present themselves. The next stage, these are the action stages. These are the stages what I call where the rubber hits the road. And the next stage is transformation. Transformation is going in and finding that thought and looking at the emotion that's attached to it. And if that emotion is a negative emotion, you have suffered that thought long enough. Transformation is letting go of the emotional charge. You're not going to lose the thought, but you can lose the emotion around that thought. That's where self-remembering comes in and helps you, because it reminds you a thought is just energy. An emotion is just energy. If you want to change a thought, you have to change the emotion to begin with. If the emotion is fear or anger or hatred or whatever it may be, or disappointment or despair or feelings of hopelessness, then what you do is you go in and you go, what do I need to do in order to take myself out of this place? What do I need to let go? And that's what transformation is. Once you let go, whether it's, you know, this big, profound ceremony of letting go, this rite of passage, once you let go, it's like a phoenix rising. It's like a new thought comes out of all the flames of all of that change in the alchemical process. It's the transmutation process. And what occurs is out of the flames of the old thought, a brand new one arises. And in transmutation, the thought expands. It becomes new. Again, it creates this awareness. You have a sense of hope. You have a sense of being in control of your life. You self-remember that you are the master of your destiny. Destiny means that you have within you skills and talents and ways to be able to create the life you desire. The first part of your destiny is, how do you make decisions? If you go against that, then you may live your fate. Fate is what someone else, excuse me, it must be a metaphor there. Fate is what others tell you you can be and what you can do. And we can live that every day. Destiny, when you're the master, is transmutation. It's the phoenix rising, a brand new thought. Now we reach that final stage of enlightenment, and that's called transcendence. That means that we rise above, move beyond the old thought, the old patterns of behavior, the old habit no longer has that grip on us the way it did with that emotional charge. Now we're on the road to creating what we desire, because that old habit doesn't have that grip on us, that fear, that negative emotion. Now we're able to move in the direction that we truly desire. Now people will say to me, well, Carol, when I reach there, am I done? No, enlightenment isn't a destination. That thought is done. But as soon as that thought is done, somewhere in these seven stages, another thought that's associated with it, that has an emotion that may feel like it, but it's not the same, will come up. Is that we've failed somehow in our life? No, we've just been conditioned for a long time to be behaviorally compliant, to want to fit, to want to be loved, to want to be accepted, to not feel awkward, to not feel like we don't belong. All of those are the reasons at the very depth of who we are, of why we become behaviorally compliant. Be kind to yourself and self-remembering. All of this life is just a classroom. When you do those things, you have an opportunity as you move kind of where you are from kindergarten to get high school, you have a chance to become rebellious. That's the gift of puberty, as you become rebellious. The people around you don't like it, but what you're doing is you're self-remembering, you know, that maybe, Mom, what you believe isn't what I believe, and it's a chance for you to find out what you really believe in. Transcendence means moving on. That is the mint process of enlightenment. It is the process of the state of being without suffering. And what we do is, it is a process. It is a journey. What we can do is, we have complete control of the journey. We can say, you know, this could take the rest of my life to finally get over something that happened when I was a child. Or, you know what? I can take the steps. Maybe I can meet with a counselor. Maybe I need to do EMDR. Maybe I need to have a good self-talk. Maybe I need to do something that I'm really good at instead of something that I'm not. All of those are steps to get you where you need to go. Maybe you need to have a ceremony around seeing the burning of that negative emotion. Maybe it's that despair that you're feeling inside. Put it on a piece of paper. Create a ceremony. You know, put a little bit of flame to it, a little bit of sage, whatever it is, aromatherapy, whatever it is, put it in place. Create the ceremony that works for you. Maybe what it is writing it and throwing it out. Whatever works. Because in that you find the power that you have over your emotions that are negative. Emotions are your internal barometer. I have a wit and wisdom that I do every day. The wit and wisdom for today is, emotions are your internal barometer. Negative emotions tell you don't do it. Positive emotions tell you to do it. Something for you to hold in your mind and your thought as you go on about the day. So what was going to happen? How do you know the final part of this? How do you know when you've reached that moment of enlightenment? Well, what you'll find is there'll be less angst inside. I call that gut part, where your gut kind of twist and turn on itself. You won't have as much emotional suffering. Your thoughts won't be focused on loss. They'll be focused on obtaining. You won't find yourself looking at scarcity. You'll find yourself looking at abundance. What you'll do is, you'll find that your head and heart won't be at odds with itself. You'll believe that you deserve the very best that life can offer. You'll develop habits or comfort zones. Actually, they can be habits and comfort zones that are healthy, contrary to what we believe. You'll develop happy habits that promote self-love and that will engage you in activities that literally nurture your soul. Those activities always have a creative charge around it. It could be writing, it could be painting, it could be sewing, it could be beading, it could be gardening, it could be golf, it could be working out at a gym. It doesn't make any difference. Anything that gives you the sense that you are in control of your life. Greet each day with enthusiasm. Now, I will tell you that some days the body hurts so much it's hard to do that. But you know what? If you get out of bed, greet the day like, woo, I'm standing up, I'm on my feet, this is a good day. And that's literally when I was dealing with the plantar fasciitis, and after I went through all the poor me and everything else, because you know you do, let's be honest about that. And then it's like, and then you go from the poor me to, oh my gosh, am I ever going to get well? And then it's like, well, how long is it going to take me to get well? So that's a process. That's part of the enlightenment process. And then I reached a time where I could get out of bed and my feet didn't hurt so bad. It's like, whoa, today is a good day. And then the next day is a better day. And that's what we have to do. Be of gratitude and greet the day with enthusiasm. Today, when I wake up in the morning with my feet, I had to say, today I'm going to do things that are good for my feet that aren't going to cause them to hurt anymore. And I did. And sometimes I wanted to do more than my feet wanted me to do, but you know what? I didn't. That's what it's about. Stop. That's the transition. Stop. Be in that space. You're going to want to engage yourself in life and do more than what's required. So often we have a situation where we only psychologically set our mind in place that all I'm going to do is absolutely what's expected of me. That isn't said in judgment that there's anything wrong with that, but what you'll find is if that's all you do, then you will have an inner spark inside that'll be like this, you know, pot boiling or this volcano that says, you know, you can really do more. You can be more. You can make a difference. And it's important for you every day to work toward making a difference. Don't just get by. Go beyond. Don't just do what's expected by others. Do what you want to do and what you expect of yourself. 24 hours can be managed very, very effectively. While many of us think that all we do is work all the time, in reality, a lot of our hours are around either working or taking care of families or whatever else we have that's going on. But really, just 15 minutes, a half hour a day can put some balance back in your day doing what you like. Maybe it's reading a magazine, sitting down with a book, coloring with your kids, playing with a puzzle. Maybe it's sewing. Maybe it's something. I mean, really, 15 minutes, 30 minutes a day, we ought to be able to squeeze in our life. And that creativity awakens us and it starts the process all over again. And when you speak your truth, you know it. It isn't where you have to yell your truth. There's just a compassionate vibration around it that says what you are doing, if it's towards someone else, what you are doing is no longer comfortable for me. It's not how I wish to be treated, and I would like you to stop this now. Now, they may hear it differently, but when you speak it from your truth and that inner resolve, in that enlightenment place, free of suffering, the truth we speak is spoken with a clarity that even though someone may want to hear it different and will react different, you will feel very comfortable in your skin for having stood up, spoke your truth, being in a place that you know that you're in control. And it isn't about ultimatums. Enlightenment is not ultimatums. Enlightenment is about being truth, trusting yourself, and then you will prevail. A lot of the similarities of what was happening when I also was talking about the prudent, persist, and prevail. Lots of great energy with that. I have just a very few minutes, so I think what I'd like to do is with Rebecca, do we have enough time? Shall we try to squeeze Karen in there? All right, let's see. We've been having, many of you may wonder what's going on. We've been having some technical difficulties. We are recording the show. It is going
to be. Hi, this is Karen.
Well, hi, sweetie. Nice to have you online. What can I do to be able to serve you in a very few minutes? But I think that you are right on track. Let's go for it.
Oh, you know, whatever you think I need, there's so much I could say or ask. I just really want to say everything you've touched on really resonates with me. Right now I'm one of the lucky people that has this pause to decide what I want to do with life. And, I even want to go to one of your seminars. I really feel strongly I need to go. I'm also having some medical symptoms that I've always wondered what is going on with this. I get hives almost every day and also a lot of yeast infections. Okay. I'm also doing a lot of work with angels and, anyway, I could go on and on because basically I resonate with everything you talk about. So whatever you would like to focus on is fine with me, Carol. I'm just so glad to get through to you.
Well, thank you. And I would like to focus on saying a great big thank you. Not only did you make me smile, I actually have a mirror in front of my equipment here that I smile. But I need to tell you, sweetie, this isn't a smile that I just look in the mirror and go, Carol, smile, put smile on your voice. I am beaming from ear to ear. So thank you so much for your kind words. You made my heart smile as well.
Oh, good.
So, and I tell you what, may I jump in with you in your pause so I can piggyback on what you're doing, hon? Because I kind of need that. So I am right there with you. So thank you for letting me in. All right. So the next thing is, let's go in with what's going on in the physical body. One of the things, sweetie, that your body, by the nature that it is, tends to run more acidic than alkaline. Everything that you put in your mouth, think alkaline. Alkalize, alkalize, alkalize. Edgar Cayce, that was his mantra of how to be able to get rid of inflammation, get rid of fatigue, how to be able to put the body back where it needs to, the immune system, the emotions, everything else. Candida is the presence of too acidic of a body. Candida, the imbalance cannot grow in an alkaline body. The alkaline body keeps the body where it needs to when it's pH. So the first thing is that in this transition, you've been doing a lot of work. I can hear sweet talk going on between you and yourself. I love that. It's a positive sweet talk. It's alkaline sweet talk. You're not going in and going, you know, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Go into that angst, all that fear, all that everything, blah, 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 all that part you did. So there's that. Let's look at what you're taking from a dietary standpoint. The other thing is that it feels to me that flower essence would be very helpful to you. You're a wonderful vibrational healer. That would be able to get you where you want to go. You might also want to do some work with vibrational healing, flower essence around angels. You've got a real connection with angels. You might want to look at doing some study around angels so you can share with people. Angels are very active, not only in the field right now, but we're literally graced on this earth with angels for the first time. If the teachings of the ancients are really in truth, which I believe that they are, we've had people that are kind, that are like angels, but we literally have angels in form gracing this earth. And you know what? They're not sure what to do with themselves. They need someone that can help them. You have those gifts, sweetie. So look at that part of it and look at all the tools you have in your tool bag. You know how to make money. You know what it takes. You're willing to commit to make money. And now what we need to do is you need to decide in this process, where do you want to start? Enlightenment means you have to start somewhere. Look at those things. All the things you're going to do of where you want to go, you're going to heal your body simultaneously. The one thing, now let me tell you very quickly. I only have a minute. Somebody just came into your field. That's usually what will happen. So I can hear someone in the background. Thank you. In the background saying to you, you need to be yourself. There you go. That's the last final word, sweetheart. Be
Thank
yourself.
You so much.
My pleasure. Oh my gosh, everybody. Time flies when we're having fun. Blessings to all of you. Have a wonderful week. Join me again next Wednesday, and I am going to talk more about how we can get through this 2010. Light and love to all of you. I'll see you next Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.